My most memorable conflict at high school was, it happened this way. I and another student were wanting to go through the same door at the same time. And there was a bit of a tussle. Can't both fit. And the other guy said to me, "I'll meet you after school." And, you know, before I realised what I was saying, I said, "Okay. Don't you wish you could have things over again so you could say something different?" Well, anyway, there we were after school on the school oval, and I can still see some of the other guys who heard about this standing up a bit higher, leaning on the fence and watching, waiting for the show to begin. But there wasn't much of a show. And I can still, his name was Andrew. I can still picture Andrew's unusual punching style as I fell to the ground. And it was kind of like this, round to the sides. I had never had a physical fight before, didn't know what to do, but he looked very experienced to me. So anyway, I got up off the ground, my head was sore, that was the end of that. So I guess he was right, I should have let him go through the doorway first. I mean, that sorted it out, didn't it? That showed us what should have happened. The next day he asked me if I was okay. I thought that was nice. And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." And pride a little bit hurt, but and that's what it was all about. It was all about pride, wasn't it? Who's going to go through? Who's going to give the other one that way to go through? It was such a small issue, and yet we had to fight over it. Isn't that so true of much of the things that happen to us in life? Small issues, but somehow we feel we have to stand our ground. If we could follow the teaching of Jesus, who is the master teacher, he created us, he knows how life works, he lived among us. If we could follow his teaching about how people should live in harmony with one another, most of the conflicts in our homes would be avoided. And if they happened, they would be minimized. We would have practically no violence in our homes. International conflicts would basically disappear if we could only follow the teaching of Jesus. So this morning is called the Elder's Spot on the teaching calendar. And it's an opportunity for elders to speak about something that they feel is timely or important for our church. Now, the reason I'm speaking about this today is because about a year ago, I was out of the state, actually out of the country, and just something very small I observed, and I thought, the conflict is so much a part of life that we need to be engaging with this as a church. It's just so much a part of our daily lives. It can be the result of personality conflicts. We can have differences of opinions about how to do something, about what our goals should be. We can just offend somebody with a simple comment. Or they offend you. There are so many reasons that conflict arises. And so it was about a year ago that I thought, yeah, we really should do something with this at Hope. So this morning, I want to give an overview of what really could be the content of a week-long seminar on conflict. Longer. It could be longer. It depends how much detail you want to go into. So what I want to share this morning is more of a checklist of steps, if you like, or principles that we really need to pay attention to if we want to minimize and resolve conflict. But they're not step by step as a secret. First you do this, then you do this. Conflict isn't like that. There may be different order that these things happen in. We may do be observing something and need to go back to it again. The point is, I want to give us something that we can keep in mind as we seek to see this happen in our lives, minimizing and resolving conflict. Now, what should I have done in that doorway incident? I could have just let him go first. I could have just overlooked the fact that he was trying to push there where I was trying to push there. I could have overlooked it. And that is actually a really important and I think often not recognized key principle in minimizing conflict, that we overlook things. We actually do this all the time. Proverbs 12:16 is one of more. There are other proverbs that talk about this kind of approach. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Prudent people, people who are thinking about their lives, they overlook an insult. They overlook an offense. And yes, we do this every day. So to overlook means that you just let it go. You just don't let it bother you. You go with the flow. So at morning tea, after this service, someone takes the piece of cake you had your eye on. Well, you just get something else. And that kind of just letting it go is really actually very important with the many little offences that happen, the things that people do that annoy us, we just let them go. We shouldn't underestimate the importance of this. But there are times, of course, that we should not overlook. When are they? We should not overlook if it is an ongoing problem. It might be a small thing, but it's ongoing. And you don't want to live with something that's ongoing that's not right. If it's morally or legally wrong, we shouldn't overlook it. If it's a significant issue, maybe it's only happened the once, but it's really significant. So you feel you should not overlook that. If it's a health or safety risk. There are things we should not overlook. If we continue to overlook things that should not be overlooked, this is the other side of it. There are things we should overlook, but if we continue to overlook things that should not be overlooked, then we end up with a worse problem. Okay. And you can add other things to that list. This is just to make the point that many offences can and should be overlooked as a means of minimising conflict. Now, when I talk about this morning, okay, I'm talking about what I've said we could call a checklist. And I don't want to come across as someone who is making light of conflict. Conflict can actually be crippling. It can be deeply troubling. It can be life-changing for people. So in no way do I want to imply that, look, if you just follow these steps, everything will be all right. It's not like that. One of the conflicts that I had wasn't too troubling for me, but it was deeply troubling for Kyung Hwa. We were at the Wek College in Launceston, and I was teaching a class, mostly Asian students. I wanted to make a point, and I thought I had a really good way of making the point. So I raised an issue, and I asked the students for their solutions for that. And as they gave me their suggestions, I wrote them on a whiteboard. Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll put that up. Oh, okay, we'll put that up. So I had these suggestions on the whiteboard. Now, to make my point, to clarify what I really wanted them to understand, I crossed out the ones that were not what I was looking for, and I left the one that I wanted. And I thought that was a really effective way of communicating this point I wanted to make. So what do you think of that? What was that?
Dreadful.
Dreadful. Well, you could have been a little bit easier on me. You could have said, not ideal, or something like that. But anyway, it was dreadful. It was. But you know, I didn't realise at the time. But I had offended the students. And so we had the beginnings of a conflict, which if it had not been dealt with, it may well have really interfered with the whole dynamics of the class. If I had continued teaching in a way like that, it might have actually really undermined my whole purpose over that course. So this situation that I'm sharing with you this morning, and I want to just go through it step by step, this situation turned out to be a good example of how to resolve tension and conflict in a biblical way, basically according to the teaching of Jesus. Now, this applies definitely to believers and very much so to people who don't believe in Jesus, because the principles that Jesus states are true for people per se, but definitely for the people who follow him. Now, Kyung-hwa felt she could not overlook that. It was just a one-off thing, but it was the start or early in the course, and I could see that she might have been thinking, well, this might be a repeated thing. So she came to see me. Jesus said this. He said, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Okay, so in our context, you are coming to church or you're here at church and you remember, oh, there's someone actually who has something against me. Or I've got something against them, our relationship isn't right. Well, what Jesus is saying is that the state of our relationships with other people matters to God. God cares about what our relationships are like. And he does not want our worship if we are ignoring If we are ignoring a conflict that we have with someone. Okay, we know there's something not right, but we're ignoring that. God is not happy with that. And we need to see that as important instead of shrugging it off, which we so often do. This is about living a life of integrity before God. What does he want of us? How do I stay right with him? In the end, that's what matters in everything. How do I stay right with God? Because if that's in place, other things will fall into place. So Jesus said, go. And he also tells us what the purpose of going is. What's the goal that we want to see as we go? He says, go and be reconciled to them. That is the aim of conflict resolution. It's to be reconciled with the other person. So we're to take the initiative. We are to go. But we don't go in order to dump our anger. We don't go in order to lay blame. We go with the aim of restoring that relationship. And that will change a lot about how we go and the way we go about it. So we shouldn't be surprised that God cares about our relationships. It's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring reconciliation between mankind and God. Of course, he wants to see that same thing lived out among his people. Go. Maybe some of us are already thinking, and there are going to be conflicts here in amongst the group of this size. There are going to be people who are already in a conflict of some kind to some degree with somebody. It doesn't have to be here, could be elsewhere. Go. But that's too hard. It'll just be really awkward and embarrassing. I don't know what to say. We feel those things very acutely. So it is helpful to think in advance about what you're going to say, but you might never feel like you get the words right. And in a way, it doesn't matter too much. It depends on what God is doing in that situation when you go. What's he doing there? That's the important thing. So Kyung-hwa came to me. Very difficult. In her culture, students do not confront teachers. Students do not question teachers. They may not even be allowed to ask any questions. They just receive from the teacher. And this is the culture she grew up in. So it was very hard for her to come to the teacher and say what she said. So, what did she say? But before I ask that question, before I tell you what she said, I just wonder, are there things that are not as you think they should be between you and somebody else? And if that is the case, what is holding you back from going to them? For most of us, it's not easy. But let me tell you, the rewards are wonderful. They can be wonderful. Is something holding you back? What is that? Now, I want to just pause here because I know that some people's circumstances might not permit them to actually go. I know that. It might be dangerous to go to someone whom you are having a relationship problem with. You might have tried more than once and you've been knocked back and you just see there's no point going. And that's why, and I want to make this point here, something that Paul wrote is so releasing for us when we really want to have good relationships with people, but for some reason we just can't make that happen. And this is what, sorry, let's go to the person, that's the next thing. This is what Paul wrote. He said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So he's saying, look, you need to make every effort to be at peace with people, to have good relationships, but sometimes it's not possible. And he's saying, if that's the case, then you can still have peace with God. You can know that you have done what God has asked you to do. You've done as much as possible in terms of your own responsibility, but it's just not going to happen. This is important for us. So Kyung-hwa came to me. Now, she didn't accuse me of anything, but she wanted me to know how they felt. She didn't say, you did a really bad thing. She just said, when you did the teaching yesterday, a lot of us felt like this. I caused them to lose face. Such an important thing in many cultures of the world. And at least we can understand in our culture that I embarrassed them because they volunteered their ideas and I crossed them out. So, what was I going to do? Well, you're in Australia now. This is the way we do it here. Don't be so sensitive. Where's that going to come from? That's going to come from defensiveness. No, I don't receive this thing you're saying to me. That's a very common approach that I have had, a common reaction I've had, and I'm still going to have that at times in the future. But on this occasion, I did okay. I'm pleased to say. We very often find fault in the other person. They're trying to tell you something. Oh, well, that's because, you know, we put the attention on them. But Jesus wants us to focus our attention elsewhere. Let's have a look at what he said. This is in the context of judging other people, which is what we often do if we're in a conflict situation. Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" In older versions, it says, you don't pay attention to the log in your eye. So we've got a speck of sawdust. Jesus says, that's what the other person's got. But you've got a log in your eye. How can you say to your brother, "Let me take that speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So he's speaking about judging others. And this is what he's calling us to. That's the heading here. Identify your part in the conflict. What have you contributed to it? Jesus wants us to look there first, not at what we think the fault of the other person is. And that's the third thing on my list. Identify your part in the conflict. So Kyung-hwa came to me. I listened. And as she spoke, I could see my plank. The plank in my eye. I could see what I had contributed here, my part in this conflict. And when I saw that, Jesus says here, when you take the plank out of your own eye, you can see clearly. And it is an amazing thing when you really see your part in a conflict, you see the whole thing differently, and you can understand way more compassionately the other person's side. So first, take the plank out of your... Identify your part in the conflict. It's very rare for a conflict between two people to be only the fault of one person. Usually, there's been a contribution on both sides to that conflict. But each one often can't see their own part, only the other person's part. Okay, so when I saw what I'd done, I owned it. And the next thing I want to talk about here is the need to make changes, to change the thing that caused the problem. Make changes. So I adjusted I decided, okay, I won't do this anymore. There's an example in many examples of conflict in the Bible. And one that most of us are quite familiar with is in the early church, there was complaining of one group of believers against another group because they felt food wasn't being distributed fairly to the widows in those two groups. And so they had a meeting and they changed what they were doing. They fixed the problem. This is a key part in resolving conflicts, is to agree to change the thing that was causing the problem. If we just ignore that thing, say, no, I'm not going to change that, well, then we are just stuck in this situation. So when I understood Kyung-hwa's, we could call it pain, then it was easy for me to apologize. And it was easy for her and the other students to forgive me. Here's the next thing. See, we're getting a checklist here. Things to keep in mind to minimize and resolve conflict. So to forgive is to not hold a person's sin against them. It's to let go of your anger towards them. So, okay, I feel that you've done something wrong, but I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm going to forgive you. And apologies or confessions can make forgiveness easier. Because when you apologize for something, you validate how they feel. You say, yep, I understand how you feel. I found it interesting listening to some of the commentary on the child abuse over the decades in Australia. Most of us would be familiar that that's been happening. And I found it very interesting to note many of the people who were abused, often sexually, as children in institutions, government or other institutions, many of them, they just wanted people to say, yes, that happened to you. We believe that happened to you. As long as if they could be recognized as having gone through this pain, that was the main thing they wanted. There might have been some compensation, but it was just the validation of their pain that they wanted. And if you validate someone's situation, someone's complaint, if you validate that, it's way easier for them to forgive you for the sin you've committed. But it's also interesting. If you apologize to someone, a healing may come to you. Not just the relationship, but to your own heart. I remember reading I forget who it was, but it was a quite a well-known historical Christian person who said, I often apologize to people, not only for the sake of the other person, but for my own sake. Because when you apologize, it recalibrates your heart. It restores your heart. To apologize, you have to get rid of pride. And when we can get rid of pride, we do well. Okay. So I've talked about the need to go, talked about identifying our part in the conflict. There are changes we may well need to make so that we just fix whatever the problem was that has caused these things. We forgive, we apologize or confess. But there's a risk in going to see people because we don't know how they'll receive us. And that's often one of the reasons we don't go, because we're afraid of the reaction. Will they listen? Will it make things worse? So I want to ask us, how are we at receiving people's attempts at making peace with us? Mary is a person that I did some training with. I used to be involved in training seminars with missionary teams. And Mary and her husband Jim, their pseudonyms, were often part of those trainings. And after one training seminar, which Jim wasn't at this one, but Mary was there, we'd worked together, and we and other members of the team, we were evaluating the seminar. And during our evaluation, I was becoming quite disturbed because Mary seemed to often be criticizing her husband, who wasn't even there. I was very troubled by that, and I knew I had to say something to her. I didn't want to, for the reasons we've said. You don't want to hurt people. You don't know how they'll react. Is it really my business? So I kept putting it off. But that afternoon at the airport, as we'd gone through security, we were about to say goodbye, And I knew, this is my chance. What am I going to say? I haven't got the words. But I gently grabbed her arm and I spoke some hurried words to her about her criticism of her husband. She looked at me. She listened. She didn't say anything. And then she left to catch her plane. And I went to catch my plane. And so after that, I'm thinking, oh, did I do the right thing? Should I have said it differently? How's she feeling? Did I make things worse? So a few days later, I emailed her and I asked her how she was. And she replied in an email. She said, after you spoke to me, I got on the plane and I made an entry in my diary. And this was the entry. Today, I received the most tactful and caring rebuke. They were her words. Today, I received the most tactful and caring rebuke. She said, I spent much of the flight thinking about what you said. She listened and she received what I shared with her. She thought about my words. She brought them before the Lord. And I trust that the Lord used that to work in her heart. If someone comes to us with a concern, with a grievance, will we listen? If someone comes with an apology, can we receive that? So that's the last thing on my checklist, listening and receiving. Now, when we look at this list, what do we see? I love this quote from Bill Hybels. It looks like it's disappeared. Not there? Okay. Can we go back? Okay, we'll go back to that. There's a quote from Bill Hybels. He said, the mark of community, true biblical community, is not the absence of conflict, but a reconciling spirit. Now, I'll say that again. Okay. The mark of community, true biblical unity, is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of a reconciling spirit. We will never prevent conflict from happening among us. It will always be among us in one degree or another. But that really isn't the issue, trying to get rid of conflict and feeling guilty if there's any conflict among us. We won't ever get to that point. But that's not the mark of Christian unity where there's an absence of conflict. The mark of true community and biblical unity is the presence of a reconciling spirit, where we have a spirit or an attitude among us where we want to see reconciliation as an ongoing practice in our relationships. And so when we look at this list, that's what we see. These are practical expressions of a reconciling spirit. So, Kyung Hwa wouldn't mind if I told you about the conflict we had. How do I know that? It's because we were reconciled. That's the goal. When you actually are reconciled with someone, the tension, the awkwardness is gone. True reconciliation brings that. We became good friends. She and I stood up like I am now. We stood up at least once, I think more than that, at seminars, and we both shared about this thing that happened with a view to helping other people resolve their conflicts. So she would be very happy for me to be talking about her today. Okay, we're finished. And I want to ask us now, has the Lord said anything to you this morning about any of these issues? Is there something you need to do Think of your current situations. Perhaps you would like to talk with somebody after the service. Maybe you would like someone to pray with you. And if that's so, just find someone you feel comfortable with. But I'm going to stop here and we'll have just a short time of quietness for you to ask the Lord, Lord, is there something you want to say to me? Is there something I should do? Okay, let's have some quietness. Apart from children, of course. Lord God, we thank you for your ways. The ways of your kingdom bring peace. The ways of your kingdom bring fulfillment. They bring satisfaction. The ways of your kingdom work. And Lord, this is, I know, a really important thing for you. It's why you sent Jesus, that we live in peace with one another and with you. Lord God, you know each person's heart, and I pray that you will lead us according to our own specific circumstances in the ways we need to follow your will in the area of relationships with other people. Please help us. This is really a difficult thing. We need your help. We need your grace, and I ask you for that today. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.